Let's get to our high school roundtable for this week. It may be pouring today, but tomorrow night's going to feel like a nice, crisp fall evening for high school football. So let's start with Zach Showers. Zach, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today, as always. It's the rematch with Shamokin. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing well today. How about yourself, Steve?
Doing great. All right, so last week, the Selinge Grove, this was a location game. The winner got to play at home. So why is Selinge Grove playing at home? What did they do right last week?
Well, like you said, it was the rematch, and this is the rematch of the rematch, I guess you could say. I don't know if there's a different term for that, but Selinge Grove continued to be dominant on defense. They only gave up 7 points, and that was later in the second half. And offensively, they were able to put together two really nice drives on the first two drives of the game, which they really haven't done before. They were able to run the ball effectively, hit one big pass to the fullback, and overall they were able to control the line of scrimmage enough early in the game that they jumped on Shamokin, they got a lead, and then they allowed the defense to really settle in to shut Shamokin down, and then they added a late score in the second half that gave them the 13-point win. So overall it was just a lot of the same old that they've been doing defensively. Six out of the seven games, they've allowed one touchdown or less to their opponent. So a lot of positives on the defensive end.
There's always a lot of positives on the defensive end with this team. Why can't they make it? Why can't some of those same athletes translate it to offense?
That's a good question, and one I think we're trying to figure out every week.
Thank you very much. I finally asked a good one.
Yeah, the offensive line has gotten, I guess you could say, a little bit better every week. That's where it is, and I know we say it a lot, but a lot of times it's just one block. They're just one block away, and they were able to get a couple bigger plays. That's one thing that struggled. They've struggled putting together long scoring drives, but they've also struggled getting that one big play that they can really move the chains. And they scored on a 35-yard touchdown run on the first score of the game. And they had a 50-yard reception to the fullback that Ryan Ahmet was able to take down the right sideline. And to get some of those big chunk plays also just has given the offense a shot in the arm. Another thing that's been difficult is the passing game has been almost non-existent. Right. Coy Bastian has done a nice job leading the offense, but there just hasn't been the plays on the outside. So they're at a point where it's pretty much can we get the running game going, and if we can, we're going to be successful. If not, there's going to be a lot more struggles offensively.
All right, so now let's get to the offensive play calling of it. In some ways, do they feel like they have their hands tied as to how they want to call a game because there's just certain things they just can't do right now?
Yeah, I would definitely say so. There is the aspect of knowing that there's probably not going to be a lot of plays with a passing game. So right. I know talking to coaches, I think especially when you're playing a team for the third time in, 6 weeks, you try to switch things up a little bit. So, I think there's going to be some variations in the running game, but there is only, so much you can do at this point of the season.
All right. Selinge Grove wins tomorrow night if?
I think they have to have a similar result to this past week. I think if you can continue to shut down Shamokin and keep them to less than one score, I think the offense is going to have to make a few plays through the air. One thing that was a bit concerning last Friday night was 113 of their 179 yards were on the first two drives of the game. So after that, Shamokin was able to settle in a little bit. They're also going to be without Nate Schoen, the defensive end. He was thrown out of the game for a body slamming the Shamokin quarterback on a play that arguably shouldn't have been an ejection, but it was definitely a penalty. So he very much dictated the flow of Shamokin's offense. And made a lot of plays. So they're going to really need someone to step up, and probably multiple guys to step up on the defensive line to shut down Shamokin's running attack, which they've had some success with. So we're excited. I think tomorrow night should be kind of an old-fashioned, very physical football game, and it's district playoffs, so it's do or die from here on out. So I think the guys are excited, and we're excited to be back in district playoffs.
And it's on Eagle 107. Zach, thanks so much. Appreciate you very much.
Absolutely. Have a good night, Steve.
All right, so Greg Wetzel next. Greg, I'm driving past Center Hills Country Club today, and I thought about you.
And it was a great day yesterday to golf.
Well, so I'm thinking about this, and I thought about the Bishop and Caddyshack. Playing in the driving range.
Isn't that the truth?
Playing in the driving range. It's the greatest.
I'm driving through a rainstorm right now myself.
That's the greatest match of my life. I can't stop now. That'd be you and me.
That's exactly right.
That would be you and me. We can't stop now. It's pouring. No, no, no. We're not stopping. This has been a tough season for Lewisburg, Greg. Really, really tough.
Yeah, it has.
How have the coaches and the players hung in with all of this? Because obviously, they've through no fault of their own, they're overscheduled.
Sure. And you know what? They are hanging in there. I know there's some frustration from some of the guys because not be getting to touch the ball enough because offensively they're limited with what they can do right now. But last week against a pretty good team in Loyal Sauk, who's going to be in district semifinals this weekend, you know, they put up their best offensive performance of the year. They rushed for close to 250 yards. But they couldn't throw the ball then last week. That was their issue. They had only two completions for like 27 yards. And they missed a wide open receiver. And when I say wide open, there was not anyone within 20 yards.
All right.
And the quarterback just overthrew him. And those are things that have happened all year. Just little things like that have happened all year.
Is this been it's interesting, Greg, that you bring that up. Because you can play really, really well in a game, but yet sometimes teams fall into the habit of you and I both know the ability to make the winning plays, that they have the ability to make the losing plays. Is that what you're seeing? At inopportune times, Lewisburg unfortunately makes what's called a losing play.
That happened this week, Steve. 2 minutes and 20 seconds left in the first half. Third down play, third and 10 for Loyal Sauk. They throw like a 6-yard out pass. Wasn't going to be a first down, probably, unless the kid broke a tackle, right against the sideline. The defender falls down. There's two other kids right around him. They just freeze the play. They thought the kid was going to go out of bounds. He stuck his foot in the turf, pivoted, 66 yards for a touchdown.
Ugh.
Things like
brutal.
That, you know?
Yeah, you know, obviously with injuries and other issues, and I ask this to Zach, when it comes to the ability to call the game offensively, are the limitations really tying their hands as to what they really think they can do as opposed to what they'd love to do?
For sure, Steve. You know, every game, the defensive team the opposing team that they're playing on defense has 11 guys within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. They don't respect the Lewisburg passing game at all. And guess what? There's been no reason for them to respect that Lewisburg passing game because, they just don't throw the ball downfield well at all. Screen passes, they throw one long touchdown pass that the wide receiver made a heck of a play. He literally came back 5 yards for the ball, caught it, stepped around a defensive back, and walked into the end zone for a touchdown. But other than that, they're just not throwing the ball well, and that really creates problems for an offensive coordinator or the coaches to call those plays because they're really limited with what they can do.
Loyal Sauk aside, do you see some building blocks for the future that will come out of this season?
Yeah, they have three offensive linemen that are sophomores that are playing a lot of football, nice. Both offensively and defensively. They have two linebackers that are, one's a sophomore, one's a junior, that are going to play a lot of ball. Maybe their best athlete in their team is a sophomore. So there's some good things coming out of this season, Steven. Their key is going to be Ethan Dominick's their quarterback, and good kid. He's a better running back than he is a quarterback. But this year, by necessity, he had to play quarterback. Hopefully next year they have that quarterback. There's a sophomore there that has some ability, a freshman that has some ability. He just needs some seasoning, and he's getting that year in JV, this year in JV games. I think next year he'll be able to step in and put Ethan Dominick back to his natural position as a running back. So there are some bright spots to a dismal season.
So what gets them to the fourth quarter? I mean, you want to get to the fourth quarter in a game like this with a shot. So what gets them to the fourth quarter, Greg?
I think this week is playing mistake-free football.
Yep.
And just sticking with their game plan, Steve, of running the ball. This is probably, and I hate to say this about any opponent, but this is probably their best matchup all year in terms of physical ability to dominate an opponent. So if they can just stick with their game plan and everybody do their job, I think this week they can be successful.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate it.
I enjoy talking to you. Have a great game this weekend yourself.
Hey, thanks so much. All right, the Chief now joins us. Dave Ritchie. Dave, first of all, it's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for your time today.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve.
Dave, let's start with this. We now know that they can beat Milton because they've done that twice already this season. Where have they come up short against other people that, for whatever reason, the matchup with Milton is good?
I think they finally had their offense working so well. They scored 41 points on Milton on Friday night. They passed the ball well. Drew Balestrini had almost 100 yards rushing and like 280 yards through the air. John Piper had over 200 yards receiving, and they ran the ball well, too. So their offense finally caught up with their defense. And this, you know, when the first time they played Milton, I think the score was 13-14-0.
Yeah, it was 14, yep.
And they scored on their first possession, and they continued to score throughout the first half. I believe it was 27-0 at the end of the first half. So the defense was stellar again, and the offense made it one of the more enjoyable games for Kevin to call and for me to help Kevin with. So it was that was the big difference, and I'm looking forward to watching that offense this tomorrow night against Midwest.
Yeah, I think this is interesting because have you now sensed, I mean, there's an obvious game one to game two improvement against this opponent. Have you felt, though, like there has been actually a steady improvement even in losses?
You bet. I think you just asked Greg what Lewisburg needed to do to have a chance in the fourth quarter. Well, the Braves are doing that. That defense. You know, Davis Marshall, Gage Wolf, Duncan Weir, Luke Snyder, and Colton Semko at those five linebacker spots have just played their hearts out and done very well. And they've moved three backs to the down lineman positions in Isaac Schaefer Knights, Ethan Turber Ortiz, and Jaden McCormick. Together, I think those guys might weigh 350 pounds. And that's made a big difference. And that has been successful. You know, 3 minutes to go in the Jersey Shore game, and they're still only down 7-0. They never really left that Friday night, and they've been a bright spot, and I think that's the big difference. And you know, now the offense, Curtis Raker was going both ways. They've taken him off of defense. He can concentrate at his offensive tackle position. Made a big difference. So it's been something that was a pleasure to watch. I think a lot of people didn't even want to listen to the game on Friday night because they thought, well, it's going to be Milton.
It was exciting. It really was. Drew Balestrini,
John Piper on three passes that were textbook throws and textbook catches and runs after, too. It just reminded me of a couple of years ago when Todd Tilford had his son at quarterback and his other son at wide receiver. They could score from any place on the field, and that's what they did on Friday night.
Which now brings me, when I talked to Zach about Sealands Grove and I talked to Greg about Lewisburg, I asked each one the question about offensively in calling plays, do they feel like their hands are tied because they don't have all the options available? Is Shikellamy the opposite? Sounds like they've got all the options available now to them, or at least they think they do.
Well, they've got five kids playing offensive line that are pretty inexperienced, but they've done a much better job the last 2 weeks. And the running game, Colton Simcoe has been having some good games, and Drew Balestrini, if he weren't our quarterback, would probably be one of our better halfbacks. He's a threat to run the ball all the time. I would say their options are a lot better than they were at the beginning of the year, and I don't think they're afraid to put a couple of wrinkles in.
This will be interesting because this is the first time that Shikellamy has ever played Midwest. He used to play East Juniata. That's where West
Midwest kids used to play, but this will be the first time that they've played Midwest out on their field. So it's I'm looking forward to it. I think both teams match up very evenly, and you give the Braves a chance to get their third win. And that's something a couple of weeks ago that most of us would have said wasn't going to happen.
Well, they're to the doorstep of it. So what are the factors that go into them winning this game on Friday night, in your opinion, Dave?
So they have to stop Midwest running game for sure.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the young man, that he had almost 500 yards rushing against Mifflinburg. That is one key. The other thing is their offense has to hold on to the football and be able to keep that offense from Midwest off the field. They did that. They did that pretty good with Jersey Shore, and they did an outstanding job against Milton. Those are the two keys. You know, the thing that was probably the most disturbing about the Braves game on Friday night was the fact that they
had multiple penalties.
And that was very unlike them. And I attribute a lot of that to some players that were in new positions. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but right before the game started, the starting center decided he didn't want to play, and he had to make a switch and put his center in. That was right before they came out on the field to play. And that meant there was a whole change. And also, our kicker, John Kittens, and our place kicker, was not there, so they had two kids that had to fill in with that. These kids are survivors, Steve. They really are. There's not a whole lot of them on the team right now, but there are survivors, and the ones that you have there are out in the field because they want to be there. And I think that's one of the greatest factors that's going to go into the Braves getting a victory on Friday night.
Dave, always a pleasure. You and Kevo do a great job, and appreciate your time today very much.
Hey, thank you, Steve, and looking forward to hearing you tomorrow or on Saturday with the Ohio State game.
Appreciate that, Dave. Thanks so much. The Chief, Dave Ritchie. Games on News Radio 1070 WKOK, Friday night at 7 on at 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.